The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, I'm Matt Man.
I'm not. Welcome back.
This is After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How you doing today, Matt Man?
I'm good. I'm looking for someone with a truck that wants to make $50.
Yep, truck, want to make $50. Matt's got a chair he wants to buy.
Well, no, this is I'm going to kidnap someone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, yeah. This is all the same day as what we're alluding to. If you listen normally, we knock out several at it. And I like to think you're sitting there saying, you know, smart move, guys. Why waste every day? Not waste, but why do a bunch at once? It's like TV.
Do a bunch, yeah.
They do like 30 episodes of Jeopardy in one day.
Yeah, they do. They do like half a season at one time.
Yep. But I'm still good, and I hope you are.
I am as well.
These microphones are impeccable. You went to the restroom there, and I could hear some grunting, and I thought you were I thought you were masturbating.
Oh, I was not. In fact,
sounded. Oh, wow. I was.
I didn't have enough time.
I was thinking you were.
That's funny.
No, I'm in the office. I never do it in here.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I've have some interesting things I can share with you right now.
Where do you masturbate?
All over the place.
Oh Lord, what interest? Hold on, I'm going to move this microphone a little closer to me so I can relax a little bit.
That's
in
fine.
This chair.
Yeah, you should do that.
Okay, good. Now I'm back.
Okay.
What's interesting?
Well, I'll show you this one first. I have one that we're going to love, but this one's just quick. This won't take long. This comes from the New York Post. There's new data from a study, new research. This is from interviews with nearly 1,000 German drivers. About 73% of them were women. This study found shocking. 600-plus participants, or about 61%, admitted to problematic use of their phones while driving, even in a place like Germany, where they seem to obey laws more than here.
Problematic meaning just texting and driving and or talking or anything with the phone.
Anything. You're distracting yourself with a device in your hand.
Wow.
But the thing that's weird about it is that the problematic smartphone users evoked three negative traits known as the dark triad. Narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy.
Whoa, dude. I've never heard the three used together. It's like the Mount Rushmore missing one of like some of the worst mental traits one can have.
Yeah, they call it the dark triad when you display all three of those.
I've never heard that before. That's pretty daunting there. I have one of those. I'm kidding. Don't laugh at that. You should say
it's
no
funny.
Way
you... It's funny. Food. I knew you was kidding as a joke.
No,
so, yeah, apparently you're more likely to just be a dangerous, bad person if you like to use your phone while you drive.
Well, I think it's until you've probably, I'm knocking on wood now. I've never been in a big time wreck. I've been in fender benders, never been in a big time wreck. I would imagine those that have been in life changing accidents probably don't do it as much. And the ones that, you know, that do will continue to do that until maybe something happens. I'm serious. Yeah. I've said this before, and I mentioned it to my therapist, and she's like, "Whoa, that is not good." I was like, I don't do it anymore, but there was a time when I would be down, or you know, I get the word is depressed, and it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. It's the ebb and flow of life. But I remember when I would be down, I would not wear a seatbelt when driving. By myself, you know, if I had people, but yeah, it was almost like I was like invite or like saying, bring it. Or I don't know where this conversation in my own head was coming from, but it was just very subconsciously done of like, yeah, whatever, you know, it wasn't a S wordy old kind of thing, but more or less of just even now having a tough time explaining it. It's very childish. It's me saying that. Very childish. Yeah.
To think, I can see that. No. You're not, I'm just I'm following.
Yeah, it's a very childish thing to think that way, and I don't do it anymore. But she her eyes when I said that was like, oh God, did you just check off something on the list or something? Yeah. You know what's weird is going to therapy, and then also, like, I love reading about psychology. Is I don't recommend doing both of those because you can read anything, and it's like WebMD. You know, you go in there, you put in what's going on with you. You have cancer by the end of it. They go and tell you the worst thing ever.
There's some of the most whacked people I knew had psychology degrees.
It's a, you start to you read about stuff and you're like, God, that sounds a little familiar.
Or but you want, like, if you know too much, if you get too introspective, you wind up losing your mind like Nietzsche.
Oh boy, duh. That's why I take Ambien. Cutting off the brain at night, it's not for, oh, I'm so amped with energy, I need to compress. It's more like I can't turn the old noodle off.
Yeah, I got to make it stop for a while.
Yeah, because that's when you're laying there and you're, you know. I know nine, you hang upside down, but mm-hmm. most people lay there and sleep, and they, you know, they're reminiscing on the day, or, oh, I meant to call so-and-so, my mom, or whoever, and you start guilting yourself into, you know, like, God, you're a bad person. Don't sleep. That's why I take Ambien, to escape all the pain.
That was the most golf thing you ever said.
That should be in their new ads because they don't have to advertise it anymore. Yeah. Word of mouth gets it.
It's for golfs. Man, I want to talk about a dirty word.
All right. I missed the podcast. I said I dropped an F on the last one. I felt kind of awesome.
Oh, this is the dirtiest word.
Wow. I have a tie in my mind for that, but go ahead.
Normal.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be fuck or taxes.
No, well, taxes is close, but normal, I think, is the worst word.
I say those words together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
F taxes.
Oh, is it normal taxes?
No.
No. It's somebody at Washington Post went out to find what is the most normal state in America.
Oh, God almighty.
Yeah.
What? Give me a definite. What is, do you, are you handy to look up the Webster definition of? I can if you don't.
Yeah, you look that up, and I'll tell you what they consider normal in this study.
Okay. I want to see, you know, it's one of those, like, what is that, you know?
Yeah.
It is. Conforming is the first word in the definition. Conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. Screw that. Oh.
So, see, just by the definition of normal does not exist. Normal is something created. Normal is the when you try to act normal,
communism.
When you try to act normal, what you're doing is you're trying to please someone who does not exist. There's a straw man here. There's an invisible man here, and you're trying to meet a standard that would satisfy him, even though he does not exist.
Yep,
it's utterly insane.
It's that I'm paraphrasing the meme where it's like a composite of all these people taking selfies in the mirror, but you can tell they're taking it just to see what their outfit looks like, and it says,
"Yes,
y'all talk about how y'all live that Dillagaff lifestyle." But you try on six different outfits before you leave the house, wondering what everybody thinks. But you don't give a damn.
You do look like you gaff.
Yeah, you gaff.
You totally gaff. But again, anytime somebody says, I don't care, I don't give a blank. Anytime somebody says that, they do. They give a great big blank.
Yeah. I mean, we've always, we first heard it like in the Stern movie Private Parts, like your most passionate listeners likely don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing, but like and that's the complexity of the world now is like someone that we both know it has a calls now, and all their social media interaction is that calls. And I don't know what that woman did to get fired or who she made mad to not being back on that Disney show. But nevertheless, it's consumed you. You're fighting that battle for that person. It's that's your identity now.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound like I'm speaking against speaking out, but like, don't carry other people's burdens if you're not carrying your own.
But a lot of people don't. I mean, I'm talking about a lot of grown people, people like my age, your age, people in the middle, people like in our general age range. I don't think they know who in the hell they are. A lot of them, like a lot of them.
I mean,
maybe a majority of them don't know who they are.
I'll tell you, I'm 48 damn years old, and I still sometimes, like, you know, generally speaking, you know, but. Mm-hmm. Every day, not every day, but from time to time, be like, "Wow, I don't feel that way," or like, "I do like that," or you know, I. And the older you get, the less you really just don't give a not in a lack of self, whatever pride or whatever, but it's like, you're like that's where again, women. The whole, you know, we talk about it from time to time, talked about it this morning on the show, the pressure of being a Miss America or Miss Teen or whatever, the way everybody has a voice on social media and can make up fake ones with burners and stuff. Women and their beauty is something, I love pretty women. I love the movie too, but the time and effort and the pain. We're talking about Kardashian's Kim's dress at the roast of Tom Brady, and they said it was crushing her organs because it was such a tight corset. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the X-rays of a woman who'd has worn high heels her entire life, like what it does to their feet.
Yeah,
we got it pretty damn good with men. I mean, we get a double chin, grow a beard. You know. A man's voice. I mentioned this earlier. A man's voice after smoking or just living or drinking rock gut whiskey or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It gives that grizzled talk. But if it's a woman talking like that, all of a sudden it ain't very cool.
If it's that woman you see every time you go to the gas station, sounds like this, honey. It ain't so hot now, is it?
Here's the key. You know, it's not.
The Here's same the key. But don't untie it from the block of wood. I need that back. Let me ask you this: do you think it was a mistake? Because we grew up like in the first generation that ever heard this kind of stuff was people in our general age range. But do you think it was a mistake to speak into the mind of a child? You can be anything you want to be, because you're speaking it into the imagination of a little kid.
Yep. I mean,
it's a total mistake. It's a big time screw up to say that to the imaginative mind of a 4-year old.
I mean, it goes even that's been happening. You know, I'm feeling like a hypocrite right now because I immediately think to the milk commercials of that little scrawny boy who's sitting there by himself and the hot girl sitting there flanking all over a muscly armed, taller boy.
Muscly armed like, quarterback.
Like, God bless it. I want to get laid by the cheerleader. Here's some milk.
Yeah.
By the end of that commercial, that boy's tall and getting laid, not literally, but he's going to the dance with her. And
they had little kids. They had little kids trying to drink milk so they get laid.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's
and that's literally farmers. That was an ad campaign by farmers.
All right. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Not them.
Okay.
The other kind.
I know. But it's the sexualization both different ways.
Yeah.
You know, you can remember the meth, what's it, meth specific, but it was talking about drugs. This was one, maybe the past 5 to 8 years.
And it's, not the dragon.
The what?
Said, not the dragon.
Oh, Lord. Nine sent me a video the other day from, what was it? It was from, obviously, an 80s WWF. Man,
it was a 1986 episode of WWF Wrestling Challenge I found on YouTube. And the day I was out sick.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, not to be confused with Little Dragon, was cutting a it was when the, you know, the entertainment world got together and says, all right, enough of these drugs. And he did like a free-form kind of off the well, they were saying it. I didn't mean they wasn't doing it.
No, I'm saying, you know why the entertainment world got together? They were being paid to. They were being paid by the federal government.
Right. You know what you're pushing right now is a thought that I've had in the back of my head for a long, long time about that. It was after watching the We Are the World documentary, whatever that was called. You know, none of these people knew what they knew why they were there, but they didn't really like understand. They knew it was a charity record. Like a lot of people had no clue that we were raising money for Africa. Right.
Yes, and,
I mean, they didn't know. And then the UK, their guys were doing a different song, but for the same thing. And this is just my own kind of like looking back at the timeline of stuff. Right after that was when the term African-American started to creep into American conversation. And and so I wonder if that's one of those things where, you know, they give all the credit to Lionel Richie and Diana Ross for commandeering that, but
We Are the World?
Yeah. I mean, they wrote it and allegedly got all the people together and talked to the right people and all this stuff. But, you know, Lionel Richie, you look at Lionel Richie, he's got a lot of money for the somewhat limited amount of music he put out, sans the Commodores.
Yeah.
At a time when money, music wasn't, he did good, but this Lionel damn Richie, he's loaded now.
He has a lot more money and influence than his career lends you to believe he should.
Yeah,
this morning on the regular show about how Janet Jackson doesn't have any hit songs, but she's a huge star strictly by being Michael's sister, pretty much, by being in the same family as Michael the Jackson 5. But if you look at like Janet's hit songs, there aren't very many of them.
Well,
and that's not a knocker. It's just there aren't many hit songs. That's just a fact.
Well, speaking of knocker, you ask people in the future what was she known for, and they're going to talk about showing her titty at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They ain't going to remember, you know, the other song she did.
But what
they're
was
not going to
know. The halftime show. How'd she get that gig?
Probably Pepsi.
Like, based on what hit songs did she get that gig?
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like, remember when you'd watch a movie and you would be like, oh God, who's the guy I'm thinking of right now? He, Belushi, you know, you would see, God, what's the lesser known? The other brother, the brother, the living brother, Belushi.
Tom?
Jim. Okay. So you look at what he was in, and especially the early stuff he was in, those were written for his brother.
Yes.
They couldn't get his brother, so they got him. I think, yeah, Michael Jackson, if you can't get him, well, there's Janet. She was on Good Times. That's Little Penny.
Yeah.
She was the first little Penny. I'm old school. It wasn't Penny Hardaway. It was Penny from Good Times.
Yeah, it was.
It was Willona.
It was. Now, Janet has, Janet has had 10 number one hits in her career. But you think about like the status of Janet.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You think it'd be way more than that. That's why I say I'm not trying to insult her or knock her or say she hasn't done stuff. But when you think about the status she has, it's way bigger than her career.
But I look at, you know, all things like that, stats like that, the WWE thing the other day. This is the biggest gate we've ever had.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, my grocery bill is the biggest it's ever been. My gas costs, everything's inflated. So with inflation, it should be a bigger gate. It's when they say this tour made this amount of money versus what Alabama made in 84 on their tour. Well, no crap. Concert tickets cost $10 in. Now they cost $225.
I mean, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. It kind of makes sense. And I'm in a weird way now of looking at old TV shows, bigger classical albums, even saying were they that good, or was it only it was the lack of options, and it was the lack of selection, the lack of on demand that made them what they were?
There's two ways to look at that. There's that way, the lack of selection, and there's also the cream of the crop is all you got back then. Now you get all kind of stuff that sucks out loud, has no merit, no quality whatsoever in any way, shape, or form, because now they just want any kind of content. But back then, all you could get was the cream of the crop. Like, if you made it into movies back then, you had to be really good at something.
It's generally now, like, speaking, there's a lot of nepotism and stuff too. Well, yeah, to the point where they wouldn't even use their
that. There's still that today.
Yeah, they wouldn't even use their dad's last name because they didn't want people to put two and two together. Talking to you, Maxwell,
or Barry their Gordy, uncle
Barry Gordy the third.
Who was their uncle? Their uncle Francis Ford either. They wouldn't use his name.
Oh, that's right, Francis Ford Cage. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, it's always been a ton of nepotism, but. But then when I watch those old shows, like the quality of the writing it's on it. And when I watch, like, dude, when I was a kid and the guys I didn't like to watch wrestle, just an example, something that we just spend a lot of time on. When I watch those guys now, like, man, yeah, they were really good compared to the dudes I see today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Greg the Hammer Valentine would have been the best wrestler in the world by far in 2024. Like, nobody would have anything for the Hammer nowadays. But back then, he was just mid-card guy for life.
Dude.
Because there were a lot of guys better than him back then, and now there ain't nobody as good as he was.
There's a wrestling card set that came out this year, and he's got an autographed card in it. And I picked up one of them a while back because from a investment kind of way, because I'm like, that's a guy who people won't realize how – much of an impact he made on wrestling until he's gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right about that. I mean, he's just an unsung hero, like one of those guys that you're like, oh, he's always going to be there. He was always there, blah, blah, blah. And he's well-traveled and all this stuff as far as different promotions. But God, he was freaking awesome. They screwed him up when they stuck him with Honky.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't ever going to be like world champion guy, but he was really good.
He was great.
He didn't have the personality to be a champion.
Right. No. That's so important, though. So important.
It is. Now, do you want to know which state is the most normal?
God. Sorry. Yes. I forgot what even started that whole thing.
Hey, man, the ADs and the Hs and the other D, they take hold of us sometimes.
Oh, yes. enough about athletic directors and high definition nine. Mm-hmm. I am going to say it's going to be – I gotta think like people.
It's based on 30 socioeconomic factors such as race, religion, income, education, jobs, and it just says social issues, but not which ones.
It's not gonna be anywhere in the South. It's gonna be Midwest. I'll go Midwest.
Okay.
Iowa.
Right next door.
Kansas.
Illinois.
Oh, wow. God, the murder capital of the world formerly.
It says here that this is on KTLA.com via Washington Post.
I love Illinois credit.
Most closely resembled the United States average. Based on the overall data, it's difficult to tell the United States from Illinois when you look at the numbers. Illinois closely resembles the overall United States.
But so does that mean at like – the normalcy, meaning there's a like, you know, we talk about the cluster exits now where there's a term for the architecture of that where I think you've said it before, nine, where every exit will have the same grouping of restaurants and
gas. Oh, yeah. There's a term for it. I don't know what it is.
Keep driving about 5 miles in the middle of nowhere. There's going to be a DG nearby.
And, yeah. That every exit has the same restaurants now, so you can eat the same food no matter where you find. No matter where you find yourself, you have the same exact food you had where you came from.
Yeah.
So why leave? Why go anywhere? Every place is exactly the same.
They don't want you to. Yeah.
They don't. But it has just Illinois most closely resembled the United States as a whole based on the racial makeup of the population broken down into percentages of each race. Then Connecticut was up there in terms of that. And Alaska and Hawaii were least similar to the U.S. in terms of racial makeup because they're so remote.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Where?
I mean, where do we rank you know,
I don't know. I don't have that number because I don't subscribe to the Washington Post to get it.
Oh, F those websites, dude. Screw Google on my homepage, Google, for like, they're
always
really good
linking me to subscription stuff.
Yes. Like, figure out a way, Google, where I don't like those. You should see an algorithm that I read a third of it before I realize that I got to subscribe and I X out of it. Realize I ain't paying.
Yeah.
No more subscriptions from me.
So Utah and Alabama ranked last in religious diversity. I guess everybody in Alabama is a Baptist because they rank last behind Utah, which is everybody's a Mormon. So I guess Alabama has nothing but Baptists.
But how does that, what normal means extremely diverse?
Normal would mean most. If you take the entire United States and look at all the information collectively, the most normal state would be the one that most closely resembles those numbers.
Okay.
So Alabama is the furthest away from the United States religious makeup in terms of what people believe. Because I guess everybody in Alabama is a Baptist and there's nothing else there.
Yeah. And then everyone in Louisiana they're Catholic, right?
Heathens.
Heathens.
A lot of Catholics there. Different Catholics, things. They seem religiously diverse.
Yeah, that's such a strange thing to kind of pull back and think about. Like, if you were not born into the city or state you live in, like, what religion would you be? Isn't that a weird thing to think about? Right?
Yeah, I mean, what religion would you be if you weren't born into a religion?
Why are there not any Northern Baptists?
And that's the thing that I thought about a lot growing up, too. Why is everybody just the religion they're born into if we all got this free will we don't exercise?
Because it's, there's a funny little phrase about that I've heard before. It's something about, I forget. But it's the thing of, it has something to do with basically if you, it's like people look at it as sinning against their own family.
Yeah,
they didn't think they were raised within the right one, and you're forsaking previous generations.
Mm-hmm. It's basically because daddy said so.
I mean,
that's really what it breaks down to.
Daddy said so, and mama tried.
Yeah, daddy said so, and his daddy did. Everybody did it this way. This must be the way.
Yeah, it's like Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
He wanted to die overseas. He didn't want to come back with new
I'm
legs.
Supposed to die at war because that's what we do in my family. We die at war. We all die in battle.
But it's, you know, I obviously all religions are different with different reasons and stuff. But nine, as you've pointed out many times, you strip all of them down. They somewhat have kind of the same. Here's the weird thing. The one or two or three things that a lot of them have similar is the complete opposite of what we do when we meaning people, not us. We don't hate things. But, you know, people who are very anti certain types of religions, it's like the one thing y'all do have in common, you're using all the other stuff to do what you have in common against them. And that is treating your fellow man, you know, as you would like to be treated.
And when it comes down to the core beliefs, they all get real similar. It's just the other stuff that was probably, you know, the stuff that was most likely put in there by dudes. That's the stuff they disagree on. But the core beliefs are all basically the same. And that we really want you to be at peace when you die so you can leave here.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, even if you look at it from the point of view of, and it's hard to because if there's no afterlife, and I think there is, but if people say, well, there's no afterlife, then, well, what does it matter if I lived a good life? You know what I mean? Or people who, I don't know, people that believe in reincarnation, how they feel about that. Like, I think I do, actually. If you live a bad version, the next one, you're going to come back maybe as an animal or, right? Like an animal or someone like really having a hard time in life.
You could kind of repeat. I think some of the belief is you could kind of repeat the same level again. Like you just don't advance. You could go backwards. You could come back as a person again. You just don't advance.
See, that's such a weird thing. Cause you remember you and I, at the same time years ago, were kind of like And we're not like nerds when it comes to the entertainment world, but we're like, dude, what the hell is going on with movies now? They're not making anything new. It's all sequels or reboots. And it's not just, it's the lazy thing to do. You got creative people, but it's like all of a sudden there just became this, well, there's nothing new to do now. What are we
going
to
do? Well,
you
have creative people, but you also have business people running all the studios, making all the decisions.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it's like there's this certain limit that you go to socially or even career-wise that's like, that's it. You know, that's it. That's it.
And the thing is,
it's so weird. It's sorry. If you told me, you know, 21 years ago that I would still be doing this job and that we'd be doing a podcast from our house and all this stuff, like I'd probably have tears streaming down my face with excitement. But yet, and I sit here right now and have that, but still want more.
Yeah.
Not in a gluttonous way, but just more of a, I'm satisfied, but yet I feel like there's so much more that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, it's weird. I don't believe in reincarnation, but I can't tell you why I don't. I don't have any proof the other exists either, right? So it's kind of a weird thing. I just remember as a child, you talk about the social culture kind of forming your thoughts about stuff. I'll never forget Ed, I always call him Egg. Ed Begley Jr., one of the first people that ever got solar panels on his roof. And every talk show host in the world made fun of him and called him all these names and all this stuff. This was 80s, I think. And then
The 80s, we were very good at making fun of anything we did not understand.
Shirley MacLaine, she became the poster child for reincarnation. And I remember preachers in churches talking about her. Like, she was this demon that was spreading all these false truths and stuff. And, you know, I have no proof. I'd like to actually read more into that, not as a, just more of an education to myself. Like, it's more than just, well, you die and you come back. You die and you come back. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say is about the movie thing. I don't remember how it tied in now, but
I'm sorry.
It's just about, there's no balls left in society in terms of, like, imagine when Spielberg pitched Back to the Future. It took balls for somebody to sit there and be like, you know what? Let's do it. Because it wasn't a sure thing. It wasn't a guaranteed check. It wasn't just backing up a Brinks truck. It was a big risk and a big undertaking and an expensive, expansive production to do. And now nobody has balls enough to pull the trigger on a movie like that anymore. Now we'll just remake another Felix the Cat or Garfield movie. Because there's no balls left. We don't want to risk $100 million investment to make $1 billion. That's not safe enough. We'll gladly spend $100 million to make $125 million, though.
They also pitched that movie a whole lot before that Spielberg character got involved and helped him out a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They needed that. Again, it just shows you the balls required to pull the trigger on something new and something exciting and something that might change the damn world. And the remakes and reboots, that's why I say it's a sign of a decaying, dying society.
It is.
Because it really is. There's no way it isn't. It's a sign of a falling empire. It's when you stop progressing the arts, man, you're going backwards, and that means everything is.
Yeah. Like, on that art tip, I appreciate all kinds of art. I like painting and stuff, but I
thanks,
can't.
Matt, it's art.
Hey, it's art. When hot dogs, when you see like a, you know, Michelangelo or you know, someone like that, that it literally looks like, I mean, you could tell it's a painting, but it's so detailed and it's, you know, just, but then you have the neoclassicals or the modern where it's like Mr. Chow, that guy just slings paint on, and literally, they show him, he's slinging the paint. There ain't no, I mean, there might be a design thought in his mind or whatever. And at the end, it just looks like he slung paint. He goes, sell it for 200 grand.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't appreciate that the same way. And I don't, but I also understand the way of thinking even about architecture is there wasn't the same amount of distractions that there are now. And that sounds like an easy scapegoat kind of thing. But really, I mean, dude, I earlier before we got on this podcast, I was going to look something up on my phone. And right when I went on to Google mm-hmm. it went to my home screen. And there was a thing there about, remember Gaines Adams that played for Clemson and he passed away. There's a little article about that written by his widow. Mm-hmm. I started reading that. And then I'm like, what the hell did I get my phone out to Google?
Yes.
So it's so many doors to get opened. Back then, I mean, but it dumbs us down, you know, where we don't have to, you know, with ChatGPT can write letters for you. Even on regular Google Gmail now, need some help writing this? That popped up the other day. I'm like,
well, yeah, you mentioned architecture. Architecture is not an art anymore. Architecture is an art form. Now it is not an art form anymore. It's just a
Legos.
Job.
It's
just a job now. It used to be an art, and now it's just a necessity. But we've taken the art out of it, and that's honestly something that's going to come with capitalism. Capitalism itself will take the art out of something like architecture because the art in architecture isn't very capitalist.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, no, it's not. If it is, they want to be, they want to do, it's very pretty, but that new building downtown Greenville, it's not new now. It's been there a little over a couple of years, but that big glass building down there at the other end of Camperdown Way.
Yeah.
It's like, if that had been built 75 years ago, that'd be the most grand, just, you know, the words, the columns and all that stuff. And now it's just a big piece of metal and glass, and it's striking, it's pretty, but it's not grand, you know?
No, it isn't. We've taken that out of that, man.
Yeah. Same thing with cars.
Yeah, dude, design is dead. I see it all the time. Like, I have a sport utility type vehicle now, and on the back it has a little overhang over the back window, a little lip up there that hangs over, and the letters on the back are double-spaced. And if you notice, every SUV now looks exactly like that. They all have the exact same look because, again, we're all going to make our cars look exactly the same because not one of us has the balls to make stuff that looks a little bit different that'll either flop or be a huge success.
Well,
a lot of it comes down to nobody has the balls to take a chance and make a new hit. Everybody just conforms instead of trying something that might work.
And the ones that do, you know, that Cybertruck is, you see that and you're like, good Lord, I love them. I think I still haven't seen one in person. I wouldn't look at it. I know the other day you mentioned seeing one. I was reading the comments on the text, and mm-hmm. people are like, that's a hunk of shit. That's a bunch of crap. That looks stupid. It's like, maybe if you don't think it'll inspire somebody else to make something a little more just different. Like, I look at
it being different. Now, different ain't always good because I'm pretty sure it's based on a concept drawing Elon Musk did when he was 6 years old.
Or he saw Mad Max.
Yeah, but I do appreciate different, and different is what we got with the Cybertruck, certainly.
But if you look at the 1940s in America, from fashion to architecture to automobile design, we were booming in the 40s. Like,
yeah, we were.
That's when the mines just really took off. And then,
well, that's when nobody in Europe or Japan could make anything anymore, and we had to do it all.
God, I'm looking for a bell that's not here right now.
that's why we were booming. We kind of had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I hate to stop right here, but I got to go get my wife from work, man.
Oh, well, you better. You better.
I got to get going. Go do that.
Tell her I said hello.
Well, I shall. I shall. About 15 minutes.
I will see you tomorrow. And to you listening, I would like to say I'm Matt Man.
I'm Nine.
And this has
been After Hours
with the Rise
guys.
Thank you.
Got it. Thank you.
That's our fun little thing to do now.